Hi, this is Christopher Edge, owner and operator of LA Edge Web Radio, along with my wife, LA. I want to thank you for tuning in to one of our special programs this evening, and hope you go to our website at LAEdgeWebRadio.com to check out more programming. Again, thank you for tuning in, and enjoy the show.
The following program may not be suitable for some listeners. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Generations of Gaming, video game talk with a twist of humor.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Generations of Gaming. I am Chris. Along with me is my son, Brady. How's it going, bud?
What up? Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good, good. What have you been doing gaming-wise?
Recently I've just been on online on GTA recently and Destiny, mostly. Now that Wildlands beta is over, that really sucks. That was fun.
Yeah, a lot of my fellow gamers have been really diving into it, telling me about it a little bit. Sounds like a cool game.
Yeah, another one too. It's out for gold right now. Is Layers of Fear. I haven't checked it out yet, but I do have a friend that played it with his girlfriend, and he told me he had to shut it off because he got scared, not hurt. So,
Layers of Fear, the one that's free with gold. I see that.
Yeah,
also, Project Cars Digital Edition is still.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I checked out the screenshots on it. It looked like, I know this is mostly an Xbox-based show, but on PlayStation, about like 2 years ago, there was a game called PT. I told you about it. And it was a playable teaser for Silent Hills, the game that got canceled that was going to have Norman Reedus in it. And this looks like a PT, like a 2017 PT. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and TT was insane.
We'll have to get a Layers of Fear review from you maybe next week.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check it out this week. It's downloaded now. I might even check it out after the show.
that's free with gold right now for all Xbox Live Gold members. Project Cars Digital Edition is still free, and the backwards compatible game that is free is Borderlands 2. So make sure to check those out, and also. This weekend, Ubisoft is giving free play days for their latest great extreme game, Steep. So it's got wingsuits, snowboard, skiing, hang gliding? We checked out the beta and I liked it.
It's
an open world.
Yeah,
you can just walk anywhere in the snow. It's pretty cool. That was really cool. Yeah, I liked being able to do that. So,
that was just awesome.
Yep, I found an article on a website I go to a lot. It has a lot of good stuff on it. It's called bleedingcool.com. And this was posted by Madeline Ricciuto. Sorry if I know I butchered that. But she wrote to let all of you know that Steep is free to play this weekend. And also, during the free trial this weekend, the game will be available for half price for the standard edition, 40% off of the gold edition. 40% off the gold edition. And the sale runs until March 13th on Xbox Live and until March 20th on PlayStation Network. And one more thing, if you buy Steep from Ubisoft directly, both editions of the game are half off until March 14th.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. So, it'll be on Xbox One from today at midnight. It started at midnight today until 11:59 p.m. on the 13th, which is Monday. So we get some free play days out of that. PlayStation 4 goes till 10 a.m. Pacific on the 13th. It started at 10 a.m. today. And on PC, the same, 10 a.m. on the 13th. So go check it out.
For sure.
Check it out. Also, I wanted to pass along a little news that I found out about Destiny 2. This was reported yesterday on GameZone.com by Tatiana Morris. And it was reported that Destiny 2's sequel was leaked, or details on the sequel was leaked for Destiny. And it is rumored to be titled Destiny 2 Forge of Hope. So Destiny 2 Forge of Hope is the title. I've seen a number of rumors over the past few months, and while confirmed details have been few and far between, there's one thing we do know. Destiny 2 was set to release in 2017. Activision confirmed that Destiny 2 is coming this year, and the DLC is already getting mapped out.
What? That's insane.
So Destiny 2 is set this year as planned, and they got those DLC things going already, man. So I like that. I like it.
Yeah, like it a lot.
So, yep. So good news for the Destiny fans. Another article by Activision. It's trying to say that their 2017 Call of Duty this year is going to go back to its roots. And there's much anticipation and speculation that it could go as much back to the roots as a World War II style game.
That would be so amazing. They have such good potential. They're just doing it in the wrong way.
Well, that's what it said. That, like, this article was really good. This one was from GameZone as well, and it was written by Kate Onder. I always like to give out the credentials whenever it's available, because these people work hard to find out this info and pass it along to all of us nerds.
Oh, yeah.
But it said, Call of Duty has strayed very far from its roots over the last few years. In 2012, we got Black Ops 2, which was the first step into futuristic warfare. It was still somewhat grounded, but it was a sign of things to come. After a few years, Call of Duty turned into a series where you could use jetpacks and go to space. While it still has an audience, fans haven't been incredibly happy.
No.
So, but it says that it's possible Activision did see the success of EA's Battlefield 1, which took the series from a modern-day setting back to World War One, and it's had a really good response to that game. So, it wouldn't be a surprise, man. I mean, I think Activision needs to do something with the Call of Duty series. How likely would you be to buy Call of Duty if it was a World War II based game than if it was
the day it came out?
That's crazy, because you haven't really played Call of Duty since what? They switched it?
Yeah. The last one I played that I actually enjoyed was Black Ops, and that was because the zombies. I like the zombies. But then they came out. The only in Black Ops 2, I liked Nuketown on that one, and Nuketown Zombies, but that was it. Besides that, I didn't like anything else in the second one. I didn't like Advanced Warfare or Infinite Warfare.
Infinite.
Yeah, and all that. It's terrible. It's like just 16, all these flying around the map for 30 seconds before you touch the ground. Like, what is that? You like 17 like double jumps. Like, that's no.
Yeah, they have gotten a little they've gotten really out of hand with it. You know what it reminds me of? The Call of Duty series reminds me of the Friday the 13th movie series. And the fact that it started out awesome, then it became a little mainstream, then it got ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at with Call of Duty. You know, at first it was cool whenever they even still had the pre Call of Duties that we got the World War II base games with, like,
yeah,
Big,
like,
Red One, Call of Duty 2.
Yeah, I was about to say,
you know,
Big
game,
Red One. That one was my favorite.
Yeah, and that was pre-multiplayer. So it would be really fun to be able to have that style of gaming again, but with multiplayer.
In multiplayer, yeah. Oh, my God. That would be, like, well, like, technically, like, how, in a way, how Battlefield 1 is, from what I've seen, at least. I haven't played
it. Oh, yeah.
It, and,
I love Battlefield
it's
1.
Like, yeah, I got to pick it up because I've heard such good, like, reviews and, like, comments on it. I haven't heard really anything bad about it.
I like it because it's the maps. Go ahead.
He told me he played a match like 2 days ago with 64 people in it. I was like, 64
oh, yeah.
people in one match? He was like, yeah, dude. I was like, oh, my God. Like, that is insane.
Yeah. You can select the server you want to play on if they have room on it. They have servers that have 64, and I want to say servers that have 32. But they have it just like the other ones. You can pay to rent your own servers too. So like, I don't know how much it is, like $5 or something. I don't know, but you can rent a server and then host it. And then that way you can have up to 64 people. And if it's just you and your friends at first, you know, you can just play with you and your friends or whatever you want to do. But yeah, the maps are humongous. The maps are, incredibly big. Actually, I'd be interested to find out how big the maps really are, because we were just talking about this last week.
Yeah,
Ghost Recon Wildlands. Yeah, and
what,
Ghost Recon Wildlands is like, yeah, 220 or 250. Was it square?
That was kilometers.
Or kilometers. And
150 kilometers.
But, let's see, which game holds the title for that one? Gunho told us about that.
Just Cause 3 is 1,000 kilometers.
Yes.
That
and
is
Skyrim
ridiculous.
Is actually, what was
Just
it,
Cause
like 37?
37. Yeah, Skyrim's 37 kilometers. Like, what?
And Call of Duty Wildlands is over 200.
Call of Duty Wildlands?
I mean, Ghost Recon Wildlands, yeah. They don't want to give Activision any more ideas for titles.
Yeah.
Goodness. And now I'd be interested, though, to see, like, I'm going to look that up.
I'm checking
see
it right now.
How big.
Sizes.
Yeah. Because they're really, I mean, if you guys out there like military shooters, but you don't like the futuristic angle of it. You know, because I look at that more as fantasy FPS. When you talk stuff like Destiny, Halo, games of that nature, you know, Mass Effect, stuff of that nature, which we'll get to that in a second, too, because Mass Effect will be dropping here in 2 weeks, I believe. But they put out a new trailer today, and I posted it over at the Generations of Gaming group page on Facebook. So make sure you go over and join that. But there's a video trailer of they released some vehicle types, and it looks really, really, I mean, the game looks clean. It looks really amazing. I actually downloaded the Mass Effect series. This is for
Mass Effect
Andromeda.
Andromeda. Oh, okay.
And, I actually, since I belong to EA Access, which I have talked about so many times in the past, people, the entire Mass Effect series is in the vault. And you can actually play the entire series. So, at least one through three. You know, to me, I think if I go back and play it again, I would love it. But here's what happened. Like, there was something on 360 where you could play Mass Effect for free. And I want to say it was like 3 days or something. Or it was some way that I was able to play Mass Effect, the first one, for a couple of days. And I played it, and I really wasn't into that style of game at that time, like RPG or anything of that nature, or like massive map types. Like, I was just playing like Call of Duty, Halo, and that stuff, so I wasn't really I wasn't really eager to kind of reach out to something new because I knew that there was a lot of stuff coming out for the series of the games that I was playing. So I didn't want to get enthralled into another series. But the short time that I put into it, I told myself, like, I could see myself coming back to this series and really enjoying it. And I think that that's what I'm going to start doing is just late at night when I can't sleep, you know, up with the back, or once the baby's here, up with the baby, you know,
yeah.
I might start putting in, you know, just a little bit of time here and there into the Mass Effect series to really check it out, because the video of Andromeda that I posted on the Generations of Gaming group page, it makes this game look incredible. And I'm pretty stoked about it, and I'm not even a Mass Effect fan per se. But I know people like Fire and Ice, my buddy Mark, and like I'm not sure about Dakman, but I want to say like Kevin Zoltan, and I'm not sure if like Relic or any of those guys are into it. But I know for sure Fire and Ice is definitely into the Mass Effect series, and so I'm sure he's stoked about this game, and maybe I can even try to get him to see if he can come on and talk about it with us, maybe, you know, before it comes out. But yeah, I had mentioned EA Access. For $30 a year, you get access to a ton of games to play for free. I mean, you install them, the whole game, and as long as you belong to EA Access, you can play it. And like I said, the whole Mass Effect series is now in the vault. So I highly recommend going out, picking up EA Access on Xbox Live. I'm pretty sure.
I got 50 in my ready to install. 50 games in my ready to install. Like, and 33 already installed, and half of those are EA Access.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's to me, it's like Redbox. It's just you're paying for it annually. You know, like you could go in and you pick from these games that you want to play and you play them. I mean, it's cool. But back to the Battlefield 1 map. Did you find out the size of it? I don't know if we lost Brady or not. Are you there, Brady?
Hello. Yeah, hello.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, man.
Well, we're back now. Did you find out the map size of Battlefield?
It was saying something like 2 kilometers long, but I don't know the width.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I know they're big maps.
Straight answer here.
They're nice 100 size
meters between
maps.
Some flags.
It's nice. I mean, you have to travel to defend flags. Like I said, I think there was like A through G or A through I or H or something was the flags.
Yeah, you were telling me that like was like a ridiculous amount of flags.
Mhm. Yeah, it's not your standard Alpha Bravo Charlie. It's goes all the way up to I believe Golf Hotel, maybe even India. Yeah, Yeah, and that's just one game type. Like, there's other ones where you're either on the team that has to push to take the different sectors of the map, or you're on the team that has to defend. And man, that one's a lot of fun because they have to get the certain checkpoints on the map to unlock that map. But you have like a Zeppelin that'll come in and it has like artillery or guns on it. Yeah, and your team can get
can
in
shoot
it.
Shoot them down.
When you shoot it down, it crashes into the ground and on fire and stuff. It's really cool effects.
Oh my god.
It's really cool effects. A couple of the maps have a train on it that has guns and stuff that you can get in and you can arm a gun. And it just goes back and forth on the map. When it comes in, I think it comes in for the team that's down to try to help give them a little bit of an advantage to kind of take back what they've lost. But you can take them down if you keep firing on those things. You can take them down. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's insane.
You can destroy the train, too, if you do enough damage to it.
What?
But yeah, it's, I mean, Battlefield 1 is a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy it. But yeah. Yeah, Battlefield 1. Highly recommended. Now, getting on to some other news. I found this one to be pretty, pretty cool. So there's this game coming out on PS4 and Xbox One later this year that is another MMO, massively multiplayer online game on PC, and it's making the jump to console, and it's called Terra, T-E-R-A, and there I posted the link to this on the Generation of the Gaming Group page as well. There's a video there for it. It looks like a lot of fun, like a really cool fantasy adventure type of game. And it should be, let's see, does it say when it's coming? It just says this year. But this was released today, earlier this morning, on GameSpot.com by Eddie. And, yeah, it says, Terra builds itself as the only massively multiplayer online role-playing game that offers true action combat. The PS4 Xbox One editions have been redesigned and rebuilt from the ground up for gamepad controls, the publisher said. The past 5 years of Terra have been fantastic. En Masse Entertainment CEO Sam Kim said, "We have an amazing and ever-growing player base on PC, and we can't wait to share Terra with a brand new audience on consoles." So we're going to be getting another PC game on console. I think that's kind of cool, man. I really kind of dig that. And I mean, when you talk MMO, for people who may not be familiar with the type of game that Terra is, think of like a World of Warcraft, I don't know, Neverwinter, Elder Scrolls Online, that kind of thing. So, like Lord of the Rings Online, that kind of stuff. That's kind of the track that it's going down. I want to say more of like a World of Warcraft, but Terra looks like an awesome game. So that'll be coming out. And then the last bit of news. This is a really good website too. So I highly recommend everybody to go over and check out this website. They always have a lot of good stuff. But it's on MSFT, or on Microsoft, onmsft.com, and it's titled Project Scorpio Will Make Existing Xbox One Games Look Better on 1080p TVs. And this was written by Laurent Garrett. This was 3 hours ago, and it says that when unveiled Project Scorpio last year, the company made it clear that it was developing the most powerful gaming console on the market. Now, we already know that Project Scorpio will support true 4K gaming as well as virtual and augmented reality experiences, but though it wasn't clear that the new console would be a valuable upgrade for those of us who don't have a 4K TV. Well, as it turns out, it seems that the new console will be able to enhance your gaming experience even if you play on an old 1080p TV. According to a new report from Windows Central, Project Scorpio is expected to bring the following improvements. It's going to have a Shader Model 6, a new version of the API for creating shading, as well as other shader compiler improvements, which will make games run better on the new system. Xbox One games that use dynamic resolution scaling, such as Halo 5 Guardians, will also be able to output the best graphics possible more often without stuttering. And additionally, 4K-ready Xbox One games will look better on 1080p TVs thanks to super sampling, which is a technique that will improve image quality. So even if you own a 1080p TV, the Project Scorpio will still make your games look better on it. That's kind of cool.
That's crazy. Yeah, because I was hoping, because I was like, so I got to buy a whole another TV when I buy a Scorpio? Like, that sucks.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, that has to say something about Microsoft and just, you know, how much they really do think about their, excuse me, their customers by just enhancing a console that will help gamers, you know, whether you have the money to afford a 4K or you don't have the money to afford a 4K. You know, I think that's cool that they actually thought of that aspect that, like, you know, how are, you know, like yourself, how's a 19, 20-year-old kid supposed to buy a 4K television? You know, like, plus Project Scorpio on top of that. So that's cool. And, I mean, for people who didn't get to check it out, what was it, a couple weeks ago, we had Dak from 410 Gamers podcast crew. He was on talking about Project Scorpio. So go check out that episode because he gives a lot of good information on it. And he believes that it's not going to be as expensive as a lot of people feel. And so that will be interesting to see what price tag Project Scorpio has on it. And I don't know, when do you think it'll be released? Do you think they'll do something crazy and do you think it'll be like released at E3?
Nah, I don't think. I don't think we'll see it until holiday season.
Like September, October?
No, like December, January.
Well, it's dropping this year, from what they're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying like in December. Like I'm saying, like towards the very end of December, I see it drop.
Really? You think that late?
I just have some type of feeling that they're, like, I don't know. I know it's going to drop this year. I just feel like it's going to be at, like, the last second. Like,
yeah, I could see it being quarter four. But I would think more like, I would say more like October, November. But I don't know why my dad's telling me
that.
September.
Yeah,
but you know what?
But
if you really want to like get real nerdy about it, since it is called Scorpio, wouldn't it make sense for them to release
it in
October during the time of Scorpio?
They might.
That's just my take. I don't know if they've even thought of that. Who knows?
Yeah, they might not even, like.
Because I want to know what the whole thing behind Scorpio is. Like, is Bill Gates a Scorpio?
Yeah,
like, what's the whole
name?
Yeah.
Like, what's up with the, yeah.
Like, you get stung by it? You know, I mean, what the hell? I mean, I just don't get it.
Got a tail
or
something?
Yeah, yeah. They just took the N off to not, so you wouldn't fall for it. But the I think it's going to be interesting though to see how games then are going to be released. And let's say if Scorpio comes out this year, and which it's slated to. So let's say so it drops later this year. Let's just say it drops later this fall, early winter time. How is the manufacturing of games going to be in 2 years? Will there still be 360 games?
Yeah, exactly. That's
or will there still be, I know one games will still be coming out, but will it just be main titles? Will every title be released on disc, or is everything for one going to go more towards all digital download?
Yeah, you never know. Honestly.
See, I've always said, like, I've always thought that I think gaming companies would a lot better if they only made digital copies. And I know people say, like myself, that I like having a hard copy so I could trade it in. But if they came up with a way that you could trade digital games in towards either Microsoft money... Yeah, or, like, be able to trade it in to get other titles on digital. Like, I think that would save so many people the opportunity of getting ripped off by companies that may overcharge for, you know, traded in games or whatnot. But I've always said, I always thought it would be, there's going to be one day when we have nothing but digital downloads as our gaming.
It's going to happen.
I mean, the hard copy discs are going to go away, because look at music. Like, here's a prime example. You go to any, like, let's just say go to Walmart or Target, just any, you know, retail giant, and you go to their music section. There's not a lot of music anymore.
No.
Because everything's going digital. And so I really do think that here in the next, I want to say maybe next 5 to 10 years, we're going to start seeing a huge decrease in hard copy games, and we're going to see a large increase of sales for digital games. Because there's people now I know, like Mike. I want to say Mike buys all his games digitally now.
Oh, wow.
You know, because he just says it's so much easier just to download it and have it ready for whenever it's going to get released. Because if you buy a digital game, what they do, what most developers will allow, or Microsoft will allow, or whoever gives permission for it, you'll be able to download the game like a couple days before it's released. So that way you're not stuck buying a game at the store, going home, and then waiting for the game to download overnight. This allows right at midnight, when that game's released, you can start playing it because it's downloaded. And, you know, it offers, I mean, it is really a great way to look at things when it comes to digital downloads, is like the convenience factor. But at the same time, we really want these kids who are gamers to at least get out of the house to go to the mall or go to the GameStop or go to the Best Buy, wherever they buy their game, and get out of the house for a little bit to go buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have kids that won't leave the house at all and will just be buying all digital downloads. So, I don't know. I mean, what do you say to those kids who don't want to leave the house? I mean, you just got to... You just got to tell them all to just be quiet. But no, but I think Project Scorpio is going to offer, getting back on that subject because I got sidetracked, but I think Project Scorpio is going to offer a lot of really cool things. And with this latest news about the 1080p, I think that just shows me that they're trying to make it the best console available. That they're trying to make it so that everybody and anybody can play this console. You know, they don't have to worry about having to have a certain TV type or whatnot. So, some interesting news. I can't wait. It's going to be a heck of a fall. I know that. We got, Red Dead 2 slated to release this fall. We got Destiny 2 slated to release. You got Project Scorpio. I think here in the next couple months, on the build-up to E3, I really think we're going to see a lot of cool stuff being released that we're going to be able to share on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's Days Gone? Has it been released yet for PlayStation?
I don't believe so. I think it comes out sometime summer.
Okay, because I want to say, when did it get, didn't it get pushed?
Yeah, I think it got pushed back.
June.
I don't know.
No,
this is
actually, no, it says it was released last June. No.
No, it was not, there's no way.
Really? That's what it says, June 2016 is what it says, but that's not right.
There's no way possible.
Yeah, because it debuted at E3 last year, and that was June.
Yeah.
Like, it premiered. Like, it had its Premier. That's dumb. Why would they say that? That article, wrong. I'm not even going to give the article name because they got it wrong. Yeah, it just says no release date has yet been set for Days Gone. We're still waiting to see evidence that a 2017 launch is off the cards, which means we're expecting a showing at E3 and secretly hoping for a pre-Christmas debut. Now, this is from today. So, yeah, there hasn't been a release date yet. I know it looks sick. I know it looks incredible. That's the one game that if I owned a PlayStation, I would definitely own Days Gone. That's for sure. That and Horizon Zero Dawn, that game looks
just
incredible.
That and the God of War, too. God of War.
Oh, yeah, the God of War. That game looks sick.
It looks so amazing. I was so upset when I saw it because I was like, I can't play it. Like, I can't wait till they merge.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing is I can't wait until there's a cross-compatible. Just the whole cross-compatibility thing would be nice. It would just be really nice. I'd just be able to play games that do cross-platform, cross-compatibility. I think that would be awesome. I mean, just to be able to let, like, the PlayStation and the Xbox communities kind of come together, you know? I mean, it's stupid that there's these – the kids have arguments over which console is better. I mean, it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's like it should be about the games and how cool the games are, not what console. I mean, yeah, I'm pro Xbox, but before I owned an Xbox, the original Xbox, I owned a PlayStation and a PlayStation 2. And I had a PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I had a PS1, PS2, PS3, and PS4. And I have an Xbox One.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just
I enjoy Xbox more.
I do too. It's because it's like, I don't know, I think it's just to me, I find it that they're a lot of the stuff they offer, like the games with gold and I don't know, just some
there's
of the stuff
care.
That they offer, I really, yeah, I it just seems like it's so much easier, user-friendly on their dashboard.
Yeah.
Everything
not really
just
a
seems
dashboard
to be a little
on PlayStation. It's just like menus, from what I can remember at least. They might have changed it.
That's right, because they like scroll up and down.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I like having pages.
Yeah, it's nice because everything
like
in the pin, you can pin stuff to the home page, like.
Yeah.
That's
so
nice.
It's easy, convenient. Yeah, yeah.
Like
I
have
Netflix,
Microsoft Edge, and Skate 3 all pinned.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff pinned. You know, like EA Access and Twitch and YouTube and IGN and Pandora. I mean, and now, oh yeah, Pandora. Really quick, Xbox Live Gold people. I don't know if you know about the new Pandora thing, but it's radically cool. And yes, I just went back to the 80s for that type of term. But it is really, really cool. All you have to do is if you download the Pandora app, it's free, of course, but you download the Pandora app and you go in and you create your station. Like I usually listen to like System of a Down radio or something of that nature. And you listen to, you put your station on, hit play, and then hit your guide button. Open up your game, and the music now plays in the background. But then you say, oh, but wait a minute. How the heck am I supposed to pause it if I want to pause it? Well, easy. You hit your guide button, go to the left, and there will be a little music note at the bottom. You go to that, you can set the background volume all the way up so the game volume doesn't overrun the music, because I just like playing Madden and listening to System of a Down. That's just my thing. At like 2, 3 in the morning, little Madden and some System of a Down really makes not being able to sleep feel a lot better. But no, you could pause it, you can skip the track and all that stuff right there from the side menu of your home screen. So it's really, really cool. So I didn't know if a lot of people realized that. I was messing around one day and I was like, holy crap, check this out. It actually works. And it was one of the updates actually, that I read about, that I saw it. So I went in to check it out, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So, yeah, if you guys didn't like having a quarter of your screen covered with Pandora, you no longer have to worry about that. It doesn't do that anymore. The music plays directly in the background, and you have your entire screen of nothing but gaming. So it's really, really awesome. It's really cool. I mean, I don't know if you've tried it yet, Brady, but I did it whenever you and I played Skate, and I was digging it. I was loving it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though Skate 3 has an awesome soundtrack,
I still like to be able to just
listen to my music. Yeah. It seems like I'm able to land a lot better tricks whenever I have my station going than whenever I listen to the soundtrack. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it's just me just kind of flowing with the music and just saying, well, if I land it, I land it, you know, so.
Yeah.
But any beta news on your end?
Actually, I'll look it up real quick, see if I got any new betas that are coming out, because I haven't really heard of any new ones that have been released yet.
Oh, for the people who play Grand Theft Auto online, there are new stunt tracks on stunt races that you can check out. A lot of fun. Brady and I checked them out. So,
yeah, and it's 20,
check those
it's
out.
Double RP and money right now, too. Did
Is
a race
it still going on?
Just now. Yeah, I just did a race just now, and I got first place and won $22,000.
So it's still double RP, double money. Nice. I hope they keep that on that, man. That'd be great. They should just leave it on it. So maybe maybe they don't realize that people know that it's, you know, that it's, maybe they're just like, oh, well, we're not going to tell anybody except for this ad. So maybe they'll leave it on a little longer for us. But no, but yeah, that's going on. I mean, no other really big news that I'm familiar with right now. Like I said, Mass Effect Andromeda comes out in a couple weeks. We'll try to find some more information to pass along for that for next week before its drop date, so that way you guys can get some information on that. But unless you've got anything else, Brady, I think we're done.
Yeah, that's all I got for this one.
Let's ask Reds. Reds, you got anything?
Baby. You're a firework.
Leave me alone!
Poor Reds. Poor Reds. But hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. This has been Generations of Gaming, episode 46. He's Brady. I'm Chris. I'm old, and he's young. And we're out. Take it easy, everybody.